You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Everybody want to know what I would do if I didn't win. I guess we'll never know.
So keep it locked. I don't get enough of it. Jesus just rose again.
Listen to the kids.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watching the Throne.
Oh, threw a little hey everyone in there. This is a lyrical analysis of Kanye West.
My name is Chris Lambert.
And my name is Travis Bean. And God, what a great day it is. Right, Chris?
Yeah, it is. You know, and I tend to think today is better than tomorrow, you know?
I mean, there's a lot promised tomorrow, so that's a bold statement.
Yeah, but how many of those promises really ever come true? You know, today is all any of us really have.
That's true. I mean, if I think about tomorrow, that makes me think about how we have to cover the rest of late registration. And I'm assuming that's going to be a gargantuan task and a giant headache, because as you and I head into today's analysis of Heard Him Say, I'm already just remembering how fucking terrible it is to dissect a Kanye song. Not terrible because I enjoy doing it, but terrible because it will be challenging.
Yeah, I mean, we know how like intense the song analysis is going to be by how many tabs I end up having open.
Mm.
And I will say that this one's only a solid 6 tabs.
Yeah, so I guess Jesus is King was a whole different story, because like every line came with like a Bible verse or some shit, you know, like all this research we had to do. Here it's just us trying to like keep track of all the samples and interpolations Kanye's using, which is a lot, but not as much as he does like down the road.
No, yeah, it's still just like, oh, he has a couple. How great.
Oh, it's so cute.
Yeah, but this is momentous just in the fact that we're finally getting back to late registration. It's something that we've wanted to do for years, and as we talked in the like kickoff episode, just excited to get back to it and get down to it. And Heard Him Say is a song that I think immediately coming back to it, we're just like, oh yeah, this is way deeper than we remember it being. And not that it like we didn't think it had any depth before, but just it feels more three-dimensional than it did the first time.
Totally. It's a great reminder of how good Kanye is at, I hate to use the term minimalism because I don't know if this quite fits into that, but I think when you compare like Jesus is King Kanye, who really is minimalistic, like Jesus is King, Yay, Kitsy Ghost, like there's a lot of sparseness to those songs. Not like a ton of samples. It's very focused and contained. But if you think about earlier Kanye, like it's a cavalcade of samples and like ideas and like throwing all this shit at you. Heard Him Say, though, like is a good reminder that Kanye is so good at just taking something small, sparse, and turning it into something that like has so much life and is saying so much at once.
Yeah, very much so. And the beat particularly, I mean, Kanye came out in 2004 with a College Dropout and, you know, shook things up by having his old school samples, right? Mm-hmm. And having some like modern updates to them, like the singer he had to do All Falls Down because he couldn't get the sample cleared, right? But for the most part, he's relying really heavily on a lot of the old school samples. For Heard Him Say, for him to step into this album with a song that's featuring Adam Levine of Maroon 5, when Maroon 5 really at this point had released their one album, was a smash hit, but still, like, it's very changing it up immediately by bringing in like another pop entity, right? That was so mm-hmm. outside of hip hop at the time. And even it's not like Maroon 5 is inside hip hop today, but
well, other than him performing with Travis Scott at the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, I forgot that that was a thing that happened.
Yeah, we'll get to Adam Levine, but I mean, that's just another case. Was this the first time Kanye worked with like a pop artist? Because I don't think it really happened on College Dropout.
No, yeah, I think this is, I can't think of anything on College Dropout. He may have been on some other songs, right? Like, when was he on the Fall Out Boy song?
Oh, yeah.
And then I think he that might have been after. He guested on a 30 Seconds to Mars song as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, this was something new. Like the same thing they'd do in Graduation with having like Chris Martin from Coldplay come on. It was just an interesting choice, an interesting way to kick off Heard Him Say.
Yeah. And a way to kick off like his sophomore album, because like, you know, classically artists have a sophomore slump, and like you open a hip hop album with Adam Levine, like people were probably like, I don't know, raising their eyebrows or scratching their heads at that kind of decision. But that's Kanye for you. Like, he made it just part of what he does. He works with all different kinds of artists.
Yeah. And that's why I'm never afraid when I see like an artist that I'm not really sure of and Kanye's working with them. I'm just like, all right, he'll make it work. Yeah. Like, he's done it time and time again. Time and time again. So Late Registration, as much as we're talking about Heard Him Say up front, Wake Up Mr. West is the beginning of Late Registration.
I knew I was gonna see you again. Where you got damn book bag at? Always carrying that little book bag. Nobody wanna see that. That damn fourth grader. Put your ass down. Showing up late again like he got something else to do. You don't got nothing else to do. You ain't doing nothing with your life. Nothing with your life. What you think this is? You better look at me, I'm talking to you. You think this is easy, don't you? You think this is promise? There ain't nothing promised to you. Look at my face. Do I got a promise face? Does it look like I promised you anything? Kanye, Nick, is you snoring in my class? Wake up, Mr. West. Wake up, Mr. West. Mr. West. Mr. West.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bernie Mac's back.
Yeah. Bernie Mac as DeRay Davis.
Or DeRay Davis as Bernie Mac.
Yeah, wait, yeah. That's right. I'm sure DeRay Davis. Yeah. I'm sure DeRay Davis would have been honored for Bernie Mac to have imitated him.
How crazy would that have been? Like,
right.
A somebody imitating a nobody. Not a nobody. You're great, DeRay.
I like the idea that like Kanye gets Bernie Mac to imitate DeRay Davis imitating Bernie Mac. Like, it's very Kanye.
Yeah, I mean, shit, that's Oscar material right there.
And the Oscar goes to Kanye West for Late Registration.
Everyone's just like, wait, and then they just slowly clap like, oh, shit, okay, sure.
Yep. You know how award shows are. But Wake Up Mr. West follows in the vein of the initial skit that we had in the College Dropout, and in some ways kind of continues the theme. I mean, we have the Dropout trilogy, as these albums are known as, and even on the cover you still see the Dropout Bear wearing a school uniform, stepping into what looks like a very, like, through a doorway that's very like big and bold, kind of like one of these old school
looks
universities.
Like a scary movie.
It does, right? There's an intensity to it. Casting a large shadow, like nobody else around. It's very gothic.
Yeah.
But you have DeRay Davis coming in and being like, oh, I knew I was going to see you again. Knew I was going to see you again. So it's picking up where we left off at the end of the first album, which you have that bit of continuity, which is funny, but also shows, yeah, there's a little bit of continuity here, right? It's the same character. And you have them, though, say, where your goddamn book bag at? Always carrying that little book bag. Nobody wants to see that. Goddamn fourth graders, sit your ass down. Which, like, man, he's getting, like, chewed out immediately. But I like the idea of how this plays off of not just Kanye, like, being in school, right? Or the Dropout Bear arriving in school, however you want to frame that. But Kanye at the time was like wearing backpacks, and he was standing mm-hmm. out as a rapper for his fashion choices and for not dressing the way that other rappers dressed. So when you have Dre Davis here calling out Kanye wearing the book bag and looking like a goddamn fourth grader, part of that isn't just like a teacher chastising a student. It's more so like the hip hop community or the critics challenging what Kanye's wearing and how he's looking.
Yeah, it's an interesting continuation of the College Dropout. Like, God, I don't want to start off the accolades already, but like, it's kind of a genius way to continue the College Dropout. Like, because the College Dropout, seemingly, you bring in a character from the College Dropout, and it, like, I think a natural reaction would be like, oh, he's just like doing the same thing. Like, oh, he's just going to have skits again. It's the same guy, and he's going to have the same school motif going on. But it really does kind of announce the album's intentions, that Kanye goes through this whole ordeal in College Dropout and is a College Dropout and makes it despite being a College Dropout. He's somebody who broke the rules. And here he is at the beginning, once again, having to fend off this guy who was trying to tie him down and keep him in school and keep him following the rules and not being, you know, the Kanye West we all know and love. And it's kind of a cool way. It's a cool tension to set up the album with, right? Like, because we know Kanye's not going to do the exact same thing. So like, to bring this tension back in, like, what does that mean for what Kanye's going to explore in the album? And we'll find out soon. But I think it's cool because like, it's not exactly the same. And there's like a bit of a twist on it, and we get it right away and heard him say.
Mm-hmm. Very much so. Very much so. And we have him saying he want to play it again like he got something else to do. You ain't got something else to do. You ain't doing nothing with your life. Nothing with your life. You think this is? Yeah, he's already getting like chastised, right?
Yeah.
Like, you want to play it again like you got something else to do. It seems like, you know, you're making another album. Like, you think you have more to say, more to do.
It's like he's being defensive because Kanye defied him and succeeded.
Yeah, which I'm sure a lot of people in the music industry were feeling at that time. Like, this guy succeeded doing what he did? Nah. You better look at me when I'm talking to you. Oh, isn't that a favorite line? You think this shit easy, don't you? You think this is promised, which is kind of like the key words. Like, Kanye being like pretty arrogant, right?
Right.
And then you think this is promised. You think there's guarantee here. You think that there is something set in stone. And well, ain't nothing promised to you, which kind of starts to get at like a little bit of the disillusionment, mm-hmm. right? Like, Kanye is somebody that has thought that this is promised, that this is all going to be like sunshine and rainbows and the good life. Like, he's getting into the good life. Yeah. And Dre Davis is saying like, no, nothing's promised. Like, you get ready.
And Kanye, you know what? He's ready to go to work.
Look at my face. Do I got a promised face? Which is such a great line.
Yeah, I love it.
Does it look like I promised you anything? Kanye, is you snoring in my class? Wake up, Mr. West. Wake up, Mr. West. Which, you know, perfect. And then class, like, he's kind of back in school, so to speak, but this guy's just like lecturing him, I think, is more of what the idea of the class is.
Yeah.
Like, is he getting bored by this lecture?
And just musically, this is a really cool intro because it starts with like just the lone voice, and you know, so you can just picture it like somebody just standing above you in a big classroom, like scolding you in front of everyone. And then like the piano comes in, and it's not quite the same piano as we hear and heard him say, but it is, but it's like it almost sounds like somebody's playing it in a big empty room. And it's like kind of not echoey, but like you could just hear like every note, and like, it's just, there's a sadness to it, which I think is a cool way to start because it's heading into Heard Him Say, which is like, I mean, a pretty downer song, a pessimistic song, but like, also a song that sets up so much and sets up so much for Kanye to like overcome and think about and to put so much into perspective. It's just musically, it's a really interesting way to start.
Yeah, and you get that sample, like the music coming in from Natalie Cole, Someone That I Used to Love.
When I wake up each morning, trying to find myself. And if I'm ever the least unsure, I always remind myself, though you're someone in this world that I'll always choose to love. From now on, you're only someone that I used to love. As for me, it's getting down to the last unspoken part.
And you have those lines, when I wake up each morning trying to find myself, and if I'm ever the least unsure, I always remind myself, though you're someone in this world that I'll always choose to love, from now on, you're only someone that I used to love. Which gets at this idea that, like, I chose to love you, and there was this time where, like, that was wonderful, but I'm at a point now that that love is done. Like, we're over. Which captures in some way that idea of, like, you think this is promised, you think things are set in stone. And even Heard Him Say starts to get into that. Nothing's ever promised tomorrow, today. We're seeing just right up front this idea that things can change.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think is pretty important for the album as a whole, especially when we already know that the last song is gone and Kanye's relationship with fame is already starting to shift.
Yeah. And I mean, to us anyway, or at least to me, the most interesting thing about using this sample, and we talked about it in the overview, and if, but maybe if you didn't listen to the overview, you don't know this about us, but we often connect Kanye's samples with, like, the themes and ideas that he's discussed on each song. And a staple for Kanye is taking romantic songs and applying them to just bigger situations. So, like, Kanye's relationship with his career, Kanye's relationship with society, just a bigger reflection of society, like the African-American struggle. Like, all of that is reflected and usually personalized in a romantic song like this, which is honestly just mind-blowing.
Yeah, it ends, and it's something that he does a lot, right? But each time he picks a different song, it just adds that little different layer of depth or context to it that really adds another dimension to the song in question, or even to the album overall.
Yeah, and if you're crazy people like us and you look at the Natalie Cole song and the first lines you see are, when I wake up each morning trying to find myself, like, if you know the song, you know Kanye's sampling the song, you know the energy of that song, like, that's brought into this. And this idea that, like, trying to find yourself, like, trying to find your place in the world, trying not to be tied down, like, this guy's trying to tie down Kanye at the beginning, like, I get, there's so much emotional weight, like, right off the bat.
Man, I'd even fucking think about that. Just the fact that it ends with "Wake up, Mr. West," and the first lines of the sample are "When I wake up each morning trying to find myself." Like, oh my god.
I mean, Kanye's not fucking around.
No, that sets up the whole journey. I know there's going to be people that are just like, you can't attach meaning to every sample that he uses. But yes,
yeah, you can.
After like 100+ episodes of doing this, and it never, like, having little, like, continuity aspects of this happen, like, almost every time, it's just not, it's too coincidental. Like, there's too much correlation. Yeah. That there has to be causation.
Even if we're wrong, like, it's way more fun to look at music this way. So just go with it.
Yeah. Just buy in. You are on a top of a mountain on some skis or a sled, snowboard, whatever you prefer. And, like, we're just pushing you down the mountain.
Yeah. I like to think of it as we're taking them on a ride. Maybe the Washington Throne Express.
Ooh, WTTE.
And there's one troll on there. You know, a Chris Evans that's going through the train, beating everybody up, but we're not going to let him get us down.
Is that a Snowpiercer reference?
Yeah, but I don't even remember the plot of the movie. I just remember Chris Evans on a train beating people up.
I got 5 minutes into it, and the opening scene I disliked so much I stopped watching.
Well, you could tell how much I liked it because I don't remember anything about it.
Yeah. Well, good. So I think that's probably the thing that grounds this beginning of the album, is this idea from the "Someone That I Used to Love" song that Kanye is trying to find himself in Late Registration because he has now gained this fame in the wake of the College Dropout. and he's becoming aware of what his life is now and what does that mean for him and what does he want now that he has this fame? What's he going to do with it? Mm-hmm. He's really at a crossroads, and that's what we kind of see being examined over the course of this album. So having that little bit of context from the sample, like, I'm trying to find myself, and, you know, maybe things aren't going to go the way that I had thought, and we know that that's the direction that the album goes with. Yeah. Gone. I know Lates and Diamonds from Sierra Leone, OG, but bonus tracks, I think we both agree, don't necessarily apply to the album, like, construction or narrative.
Yeah, maybe, like, thematically there are some connecting links, but for the sake of this show, we can't do every bonus on every time we do an album. Come on, guys.
No, or, like, apply it as part of, like, the intended structure, right, of the album.
But I like what you were saying, though, because this is, like, it's such a transitioning album for Kanye, because College Dropout was him finding success, and Graduation is an album that details, like, the fallout of that success and succumbing to, like, all the vices of celebrity and how it can tear your life apart. This is, like, man, this is one of the only albums I can think of in Kanye's discography that, like, is a transition album. It's that transition between, like, I love celebrity to, like, God, celebrity sucks. There's a lot of nuance going on here, and, like, Kanye's truly on, like, a journey here. Like, it's almost like a coming of age story.
Yeah, think about the transition between Graduation and 808s. Like, non-existent.
It's just life sucks now.
Yeah, and the transition from 808s to My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy is just like, well, it sucks, so I might as well, like, the only way out is through.
Yes, so yeah, you're right. Cause, like, a lot of most Kanye albums, either if you're comparing it to, like, the last album that came out before it, Kanye's either going deeper and darker, going further down the rabbit hole, like the spiral of, like, insanity, or he's on the up and something like The Life of Pablo or something, like, he's learning to become a father and all that. But this, you know, he's just trying to figure out, like, where he is in the world.
Yeah. Who am I now, you know?
It's something we can all relate to.
Yeah, I mean, you have those transitions. I feel like I had big times when, like, senior year of high school, I felt like I had figured everything out. Like,
yeah, of course.
Things were, like, great. And then I get to, like, freshman year of college, and I was just like, oh my God, I feel like I'm a freshman in high school again. Like, you're with all these older people. Like, there's, like, 22-year-olds in my classes, 21-year-olds when I'm just 18. And I'm like, what is this? And then by the end, all over again. And then when I graduated college and moved to Australia, I got to Australia, I was just like, I feel like a freshman in high school again. Like, now I'm in the real world and everyone's so much older. They've done so many other things, like, ah. But each time it went quicker, right? It didn't take as long to adjust and feel comfortable.
I think of your life as a parallel of Kanye West, like, pretty much the same stories going on there.
Oh, you too? I'm not the only one.
And my personal journey parallels you too, so.
That's
just nothing but success.
Oh. And that Australian upbringing.
They're Irish, but okay.
They're Irish?
Sunday Bloody Sunday. It's all about that's a different podcast.
Okay, yeah. Sorry to all our Irish listeners.
We have a handful of them.
Yeah, I just, like, defamed one of your most famous bands. Sorry.
But it was a compliment to the Australian listeners, because you guys have a lot of great artists coming out of there.
Yeah. Oh, who is the rock band that does Highway to Hell?
AC/DC?
AC/DC. God, aren't they Australian?
God, are they? I just assumed they were American. I don't know.
Okay, yeah. AC/DC are an Australian rock band formed in Sydney in 1973.
You're trying to get some points back after you thought U2 was Australian?
Yeah, I don't know how that helps with the Irish. One of these days. I'll win you all back one of these days.
All right, let's focus on Kanye.
Yeah, okay. Heard him say.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather, now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions, 18 plus.
So we start off with the intro repeating, wake up, Mr. West, Mr. West, Mr. West, and Kanye's up, you know? He starts going. And we have two main samples that the song uses. One, Someone That I Used to Love by Natalie Cole, which we've already kind of talked about the meaning, but we know that the refrain of the song, or the most important thing of the song, is nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. And this song kind of captures that change in perspective, right? Mm-hmm. Someone That I Used to Love does. Like, you used to feel this way, now you don't. Like, whatever promises you made, like, nah. They don't always stay that way. Mm-hmm. And then we also have the song by the 6 whitest men I've ever seen in my entire life. It's Candy Maker by Tommy James and the Shondells. It goes, he's a candy maker when he's baking some time. Y'all, you better jump back. Hey, don't you interfere with his mind. Y'all, he wakes up in the morning. Both songs talk about waking up in the morning. Mm-hmm. He wakes up in the morning with a smile in his head because he's upside. He's got the beat in his bed. And he'll get your yo-yo. Wind it up and let it go. Come on. He's a candy maker like a loving machine. Going up and down and getting out and right in between. Hey, you better watch. You can feel him creeping up behind. So easy to see, but so hard to find. Which, I don't know, my big takeaway from this is like waking up and he's got the beat in his bed. Like just this idea of Kanye being like a beat maker, being a musician, and you have the tensions between like Natalie Cole saying like, okay, I'm moving on from this love interest that I had, or moving on from wherever I had been to something new and trying to find myself. And the candy maker is just kind of being like, all right, I'm up and making beats and like, I'm going to make candy now, like music, essentially.
I think the tension you noted is really cool and very purposeful because I sent you a YouTube video earlier and I think it was like the making of late orchestration. There was like not a good description of it. But Kanye is talking to this woman and he's like, he says something like pianos and scratching together. Like, I've never heard that in a song before. Like, he's really excited about it. And there is a lot of tension in this song musically. Like, Kanye's kind of bopping along in the beginning. His flow's great, but like, you have drums that come in and the drums are playing off the piano. And then you have this like distorted electronic bass coming. Like, there's like a three different sounds going on at once. And it's so light and airy that like maybe you don't even notice and think like there is any tension there, but there really is. Like those sounds seemingly don't really mix together. And from that video, Kanye's like pretty conscious of that.
See, he's a candy maker.
And I'm eating it right up.
Gotta get me a sugar rush. Yeah, but it's the drums from the Candy Maker song that he brings in. But yeah. It is a strange like production, right? And I think part of that probably comes from working with John Bryan, who sure. John Bryan was the producer behind Fiona Apple's albums. And I guess Kanye had been a big fan. So when he was getting ready to make Late Registration, that was somebody that he really wanted to work with.
Yeah, and if you've ever seen any of John Bryan's the movies he's done scores for, like, why am I blanking on it? I just had one in my head. I'm pretty sure he did Punch Drunk Love. Oh, and he did like Eternal Sunshine and Spotless Mind. It all kind of sounds like that. Like, it sounds light, but like, it's always also kind of intense, you know? Like, Punch Drunk Love isn't necessarily a light, funny movie. It's about a guy with like mental illness, and like there's some sort of chaos to the production, and I think you can sense that here.
Man, Kanye absolutely watched Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, looked up who did the music for that, saw John Bryan, and then went right to Fiona Apple, and then was like, I'm calling this guy.
Yeah.
Get he on probably my team. Watched Punch Drunk Love, too.
For sure. His favorite movie is There'll Be Blood. I'm sure he's seen it.
That's true. PTA, baby. PTA. Okay, so we have those as kind of the foundation for the song. Kanye looking to discover himself, making beats, and some of that crack music, you know?
Mm-hmm. I've heard of it.
So verse one, we start with Kanye just using the name of the song right away. And I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow, today.
And I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. From the shy like Tim, it's a harder way. So this is in the name of love, like Robert say. Before you ask me to go get a job today, can I at least get a raise on the minimum wage? And I know the government administer AIDS, so I guess we just pray like the minister say.
Which, yeah, like, whatever's promised tomorrow isn't necessarily today, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and immediately, it's such a it's the first line from Kanye, and you want to try to attach so much meaning to it immediately, and I think as we'll see on the album, like it really does carry a lot of meanings, because I think Kanye, as we'll see in the song, he's talking to a community, particularly the African American community, but it also becomes like this play on like his personal relationship with fame and how he's finding himself in the world. Like there's so much there right off the bat in that line.
Yeah. And it's a little like wordplay-y in the way that it kind of like twists up your brain a little bit, just because of the contrast between like tomorrow, today, and the construction of like nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. It can leave you a little like tripped up when you're listening to it, but there's something about that makes it, I don't know, even more powerful when you hear it. Like it sounds good.
Yeah, it really does.
So then he sets that up as just like the broader idea, but then gets more specific, as you're saying, about nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. From the shy, like Tim, it's a harder way. So Tim Hardaway was a basketball player. So it's just like when you're from Chicago, it's a harder way to like make it out, make it big, just have a life in general, because of everything we know that goes on in Chicago, from like crime, murder, like economic disparities, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. And it's a great little moment, because it's hard to look at Registration without thinking of all of the other Kanye West albums. If we were analyzing this back in 2005, I wouldn't be saying this, but you look at Graduation, and that's about Kanye's fallout with Chicago and his home city, and like his true I think it's meant to reflect a lot of solitude. But here, from the shy, like Tim's a Hardaway, Kanye really does feel connected to Chicago. And just thinking about Kanye's life moving forward, like, and how he has that fallout, it, man, there's just so much weight there again, right off the bat for the beginning. Like Kanye is so invested in the city and feels like such a part of it.
Yeah. And that distance just continues to grow over time.
Yeah.
And to the point now where like you get some Chicago references on his album, but you can see how like, I don't know, it felt much more featured on those first few albums.
Yeah. Like it was just a part of his being, as opposed to like something he felt obligated to talk about.
Yeah, now he's like 20 years, more than 20 years on from living in Chicago.
Yeah.
So he says, so this is in the name of love, like Robert say, which, you know, it used to be okay to reference R. Kelly, but It's the song Step in the Name of Love by R. Kelly.
Many lovers has come and many lovers have gone. Similar to an old-fashioned song.
1,000 years from now, we'll be still putting it down, my baby.
You can change the frame, but the picture remains.
And the verse goes, many lovers has come and many lovers have gone, which already feels familiar to Natalie Cole's song, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's exactly what she was describing, but like in the moment,
right?
Like, I've decided that I'm not loving you anymore. And it goes in line with that. Nothing's ever promised till tomorrow today. Like, you have these things that come and go, and similar to an old fashioned song. And we get this parentheses, 1,000 years from now, we'll be still putting it down, my baby. You can change the frame, but the picture remains the same. Similar to the sun after the rain, 1,000 years from now, we'll be still putting it down, my baby. And baby girl, in other words, forevermore, I'll be here because my whole has been full of joy ever since, like my whole being has been full of joy ever since you came here, girl. My whole world goes around because you spin me, yeah, and every time we're done making love, girl, you makes me wanna. And this is where it really comes in. Some believe in love and some people don't. Similar to a story when it's told, 1,000 years from now, we'll still be putting down my baby. Some have crossed the finish line, some gave up. It's like moving a mountain. Love can be just that tough, yeah. And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it's this idea of like stepping in the name of love. And R. Kelly has all this confidence about the relationship and this relationship specifically, with the outro even saying like, love brought us together, so keep on stepping because love's gonna last forever. A little bit of irony is that he already admits in the beginning that many lovers has come and many lovers have gone. So even though he's declaring that this is a love that's going to last forever, will it though? So you kind of have a little bit of that tension in this. Like, Kanye at this time is saying, so this is in the name of love, like Robert say, like he is doing everything that he's doing in the music industry, like in his life, out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And he thinks it's going to last forever, but we also know that nothing's ever promised tomorrow today.
Yeah. I mean, more than anything, I guess it just like announces Kanye's passion. And again, he can't be brought down. Like, love will be there. Like, he's going to keep pushing with his career and making important music that matters to people because, like, it's out of love. And, like, I don't know. It gives the message right off the bat from the beginning, like, a lot of texture. Like, those first three lines, like, I feel like a lot's being, like, so much is being said all at once.
Very much so. And I like the genius annotation. It just says that it doesn't only sound like Robert say, but sounds like robbers say. Like the idea that in Chicago, you might have robbers that say like, hey, this is in the name of love. Like, sorry, but
I don't know how I feel about that interpretation.
Yeah. Is that a clever double entendre or is that just,
I mean, Kanye's prone to double entendres, but maybe not that time.
Yeah. And then this is a nice contrast to that line. So this is in the name of love, like Robert say, before you ask me to go get a job today. That's usually the tension for artists, right? Like, you're passionate about the art that you're crafting and you think that you're going to make it based on your art. But how much time you invest in that versus having to like get a job to make money, to pay bills, especially if you have like a significant other or like a kid or supporting family members. And that's kind of the eternal tension for artists, is needing to go get a job but refusing that because they want to like make it big. Mm-hmm. So Kanye is saying he's doing this out of love and then saying like, before you ask me to go get a job today. So that also positions it in the fact that this is a little bit of a taking us back to that first part of College Dropout, right? Mm-hmm. Or just the early days in Chicago, the same way that the College Dropout opened with We Don't Care, All Falls Down, Spaceship, and Jesus Walks, which was grounded in Kanye's time before making it big. Like, the narrative of that album is he starts in Chicago, moves into the music industry the way that he did when he started producing before making it big as a rapper. It's those three acts. So here we're starting kind of essentially back in Chicago as well.
Yeah. I mean, this whole string of lines really, it kind of jolts you back to reality, what the beginning of this album's doing, because that's followed up with, can I at least get a raise of the minimum wage? And I know the government administer AIDS. Like, at first, you're just thinking like, oh, it's a Kanye song and Kanye's rapping. But then you remember like that opening skit that Kanye's kind of inhabiting this other being, like this kid, this person who's like looking out into the world and wanting to go out and make their mark. And it really brings you back and like kind of highlights these lines, like nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. Like Kanye's talking about society and what it's like to grow up as a young black person. And from the shy, like Tim, it's a harder way, like how tough it is for people to rise out of Chicago. Like it brings so much realism to what's going on. And you kind of realize that like, oh, this is a song about like something more than Kanye.
Yeah. Especially that I know that the government administer AIDS, you get that nice, now this is a double entendre where he's wanting to get a raise on the minimum wage because it's such a low number. Like I was working at a Subway at that time, and I think I was making $5.65 an hour at Subway. Yep. And the government administers aid, right? To people that usually are on minimum wage jobs, struggling to make ends meet. So he's essentially saying, like, I know that the government administer aid, but then at the same time pointing out the theory that the government is responsible for spreading the AIDS virus through the black communities to like keep them down, ravage them. So people might be like, oh, I don't think the government did that. But it goes at a larger idea of just saying that the government systemically oppresses or fucks with black communities, minority communities, and keeps them in a position where they need aid, I think is more so what he's saying rather than, I mean, I think he does believe the like AIDS theory. I think he talked about it in an interview recently where he's like, yeah, I grew up being told that that was the case. But I think regardless of if you agree with that specific, it's just getting at the mindset that like there's government oppression of minorities.
Yeah. And that's like that kind of paranoia is built into the song. Like when you feel so oppressed and like there's nothing you can do to rise out of the situation, it can start to feel like the government, the society, you know, everybody's like doing what they can to keep you in that position.
Yep. Very. Yes. Can't keep saying very much so. Administer AIDS, so I guess we just pray like the ministers say. Alu Akbar and throwing some hot cars. The things we seen on the screen, it's not ours. But these niggas from the hood, so these dreams not far. Where I'm from, the dope boys is the rock stars. But they can't cop cars without seeing cop cars. I guess they want us all behind bars. I know it, and I heard them say. And so Kanye follows up that with, so I guess we just pray like the ministers say. Like, what else can you do, right?
Yeah.
But then it's such a great twist. Like instead of praying for like, I don't know, better governments or like a better job, like Allahu Akbar and throwing some hot cars, like amazing that it goes from something that's very like thoughtful and significant and saying this prayer, like God is the greatest is Allahu Akbar meaning, but throwing some hot cars, like you already start to capture that all falls down. We need stuff.
Yes.
Like, I'm not just looking to like survive. Like, I wanna look good. Yeah. I wanna drive cool things.
Yeah, you totally get that. Like, you can almost picture like a young 10-year-old Kanye sitting in the congregation, and the minister's like Allahu Akbar, like throwing his hands up, and everybody's it, and Kanye just sitting there like throwing some hot cars too. You know, like it's just getting it like, Allah, like God and hot cars are put in the same line, and like it's and like we need both of these things if we really want to rise out of the situation and feel better about ourselves. It's totally all falls down.
Yeah. And you follow that up with things we see on the screen that's not ours. Like that's kind of the threesome of thoughts there, right?
Yeah.
We just pray like the ministers say, like Allahu Akbar and throw in some hot cars and the things we see on the screen that's not ours. We want all of those things because other people have them. Like, why can't we?
Mm-hmm.
And you get the, but these guys from the hood, so these dreams not far. And that like threw me when we were going over it, because you think that it would be saying, because they're from the hood, these dreams are far away. That's kind of what he's been building up to, or the sense that he's been giving essentially with that, like, it's a harder way. But when he says these dreams not far, and then follows it up with, when I'm where I'm from, the dope boys is the rock stars. Like, when you're in the drug game, like, yeah, those things that seem so far away to the rest of us, like, are easily obtainable.
Yeah. And I think my favorite part of this, like, so I guess we pray like them. I think it starts like right there. Like, all of a sudden, Kanye really speeds up his tempo. And he's like, you know, at first he's like very contemplative and thinking about everything. And then he starts thinking about all of the tension building and all of the pressure on somebody who's trying to rise out of that situation. And he gets quicker and faster. And like the word, like, there's no space between words. I think that's a really cool choice to like, an aesthetic choice to really note, just all the drama in your life when you're just, you're trying to make it and you're looking at everything around you and this means that and I need this and that. And I love it.
Yeah. And, you know, he's saying where he's from. What I talked with Kanye's cousin, got to do an interview with Tony Williams, and Tony was saying that one of the big things is that until you see something, you don't think you can obtain it, right? Because it's so far outside of your world. Like, if all you grow up seeing are people that are painters and construction workers, just like blue collar work, that's completely fine. But you may not aspire to anything more or think that you can be anything more just because nobody that you know has that. But when you see somebody come through that is a rock star and musician or makes it out of your town doing that, you suddenly think, I could do this too. That was something that, when I interviewed Aunt Clemens, he talked about, he had a friend from New Jersey who made a big, like, started writing some songs for Drake and doing some other things. And he was just like, oh, he did it. I can do, like, I can do it too. So there is something interesting just to the notion that Kanye's saying, where I'm from, the dope boys is the rock stars, which you get the nice play of like selling drugs and rock, like the nickname for cocaine or crack. That wordplay, but that's what he was seeing, and that's what it would have been easy for him or others to go into. It was harder for him to be the musician coming out and rise up in the way that he did coming from Chicago, but he also got to see Common do it. He also got to see some of these other like Chicago legends do it, and he chose that route.
Yeah, that really highlights Kanye's mindset, I think, because you're right, like, it seems attainable when the people around you are exhibiting success, you know, like giving off that image. And Kanye is like uber successful. So like there's layers here. So Kanye's put himself in the position of somebody looking to these guys from the hood who are, who give you hope, who are making it, who are, you know, whatever they're doing to seem or feel successful. Kanye is a step above that. Like Kanye's position is so important in this song because Kanye's singing from the perspective of that, you know, that person who's looking to their future. And Kanye is the ultimate example of what you could do of yourself. Like that's all that weight is here in this song.
Yeah. You don't have to go that route. Like, I walk the harder ways so you could walk it easier than I did.
Yeah.
You have this follow-up line too. That's just fantastic. So from the dope boys, like, they can't cop cars without seeing cop cars, which on the one hand, like, you might take it as like they can't steal a car without seeing cop cars, but they can't even just with the money that they've gotten from selling drugs buy a car, because if they're driving around in the hood with this nice car, they're going to be racially profiled by the cops, and that's going to be what gets them thrown in jail, which is the next line. I guess they want us all behind bars. I know it. So there's this idea that even though the dope boys have made money and could afford some of these things, like, they can't, because the moment they start buying nice things, they're going to get arrested and sent to prison, which I think Kanye starts to extrapolate to when any of us start to succeed in any way, it starts to set off alarms and sirens, like, because the government or society or whoever wants all black people behind bars.
Yeah. It just building to that moment too, like I noted before, like his tempo speeds up and he's like reflecting on all these things, and you're at like the moment something seems good, you know, like, oh, these dreams aren't far because these guys are doing it, but they can't cop cars without seeing cop, like, there's it brings it back down and it just ends, like his tempo is going so fast and then he stops and there's a space and he's like, I know it. And I just think that's such a beautiful aesthetic choice to like have this like mishmash of ideas, like all of these different things that are bringing this person down, who's like looking at their neighborhood, looking at society and like how hard it's gonna be for them, and just ending with I know it. Like, that this is one of the few songs I can think, well, no, that's not true, but thinking about this album, I guess, like, it's such a downer song. It's so pessimistic, like it kind of feels like there's not much hope by the end of it, you know.
Yeah, which is a wild way to start off an album.
Yeah.
Especially, like, when I think about this album, or even when I think about this song, like, I feel like there was a period of, like, a couple years where I always thought of this as, like, a hopeful song. Or a song that had more of a positive energy. Because it was one of those things where you, like, you sing along, but you may not, like, pay attention to, like, all the specific lyrics or, like, string the thoughts together in the way, because you have it just like sat there and read through them and thought through them. Mm-hmm. And the piano, the production, like how the hook goes, there's something that's very airy and light about it, as you were talking earlier, that is at odds with the heaviness and seriousness of a lot of the lyrical content in the verses.
Yeah. And it's about to get more complicated sonically when Adam Levine comes in, you know, his falsetto voice. And again, that just adds to all of the disparate sounds going on. Drums, piano, scratches, and then you have beautiful Adam Levine's voice coming in.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from, with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
I know it. And I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. And I heard him say, nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. But we'll find a way.
Nothing lasts forever, but be honest, babe. Tough, but it may be the only way.
They say people in your life for seasons. And anything that
happens. Beautiful, dumb, sexy Adam Levine voice.
Remember when he took his shirt off the Super Bowl?
He really did do that. My goodness.
Of course he did that.
Of course. So you have the hook. And this is where it would be nice to point out that they made this song, or decided to make this song, while riding on an airplane. So apparently, like, Kanye got connected through Rick Rubin. And they were both on an airplane, and as Adam Levine tells it, they were flying to the European Music Awards in Italy at the time. And he was on the same plane. I don't think we had met him yet. We were literally sitting there, and he came up to me with his iPod or whatever it was at the time. He was like, yo, man, how are you doing? I'm Kanye. He was just getting big, too, and he played me this record. Like, hey, I've got this record. Do you want to write a song together? On a plane, you know? And I said, yeah, sure. And that was it. The next thing I knew, we were in the studio making the record, and it was that easy. And he said, Kanye West is a genius. I know that he causes different reactions in people, but the bottom line is he's brilliant. Love him or hate him, he's brilliant.
We agree.
Yeah. Yeah, we absolutely agree. So that's kind of the background on that. And there was a little bit more that Genius had too. He said, yo, this reminds me of a song that I wrote, but I don't know if my band will want to do it. It sounds kind of R&B, but I want to do the song together. And that was that. So he came to the studio right after the Grammys and he sang the song and the melody fit perfectly. He added something to it. It was just the magic, the frosting on top. So this was actually a song that Adam Levine had already made that he wasn't sure Maroon 5 was going to use. And then with the success of Heard 'Em Say, they turned it into Nothing Lasts Forever, which came out in 2007.
Distance between us makes it so hard to stay. But nothing lasts forever, but be honest, babe. It hurts, but it may be the only way.
Wasn't it a big hit?
Oh, maybe it was. I mean, if you're using the hook from Heard 'Em Say, like, you might as well try to make that a big hit single.
Yeah, I would. No, maybe it's not. It only has 28,000 views on Genius.
You just assume every Maroon 5 song was a big hit.
I do. Man, they don't have a lot of views on Genius overall.
I don't think their lyrics are that complicated to understand.
You mean I don't need Genius to tell me what the lyrics to Kiwi are? You're such a flirt. I know you hurt, and so do I. I empathize.
That's deep.
My goodness. Yeah. So that's where this comes from. They just met on a plane and went to the studio. But you have and I heard him say nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. And I heard him say nothing's ever promised tomorrow today with Adam Levine. Then nothing's ever promised tomorrow today, but we'll find a way. Right. That's where the hopefulness comes through. Right. Mm-hmm. But we'll find a way.
Yeah. You almost feel like that's Kanye obligatorily saying that, like, I'm gonna show you the way, like, I made it out of this and now it's my turn to help you.
Yeah, like, we'll find it together, holding hands through the storm. But then underneath of that, you still have Adam Levine being like, and nothing lasts forever, but be honest, babe, it hurts, but it may be the only way, which gets kind of again at that idea that nothing last forever, nothing's promised tomorrow today, and some things hurt, but sometimes that pain is the only way to move forward, which Levine's talking about a breakup, and we see that in the Nothing Lasts Forever lyrics. Mm-hmm. It's just like, hey, our relationship's rocky, like, and maybe we just need to admit that it's not working and that sucks, but might be the best thing for us. And I think that kind of comes through here, that like, not every choice, not everything lasts forever.
Yeah. And Kanye, this is nothing new for him. Like, he always uses a romantic relationship as like a metaphor of sorts for so many other things, like we talked about earlier. And I think one of the important things he does is, like, he's conscious to paint a relationship as complicated. Like, relationships aren't always as easy breezy as they're sometimes depicted in songs, and some of the songs he's sampling here. Like, each of the songs he references or samples, like, have a different energy and look at relationships in different ways. And, like, I think it just calls to the reality of, like, relationships can hurt. Like, not everything that helps you grow, like, feels good at the time, but, like, and it may hurt, but, like, it's just part of your evolution.
Yep. And that seems confirmed at the start of the second verse, right? With Kanye saying, they say people in your life are seasons, and anything that happened is for a reason.
They say people in your life for seasons, and anything that happened is for a reason. And niggas gun clapping and keep the squeezing, and grand keep praying and keep believing in Jesus. And one day that you see him, to then walk in his footsteps and try to be him. The devil is alive, I feel him breathing. Claiming money is the key, so keep on dreaming.
Like, people are going to come and go. Like, just like the seasons, and some people will come back in the same way that spring comes around each year, but some people just lasted for that period and then they're gone. And the good and the bad is for a reason. So that captures everything that you were just saying.
Yeah.
But then Kanye follows up the poetics of those two lines, right? With, and guys' guns clapping and keep to squeezing. Like, so it's not just like people in your life for seasons, anything that happens for a reason, but like people keep shooting and keep squeezing. Like, man.
Yeah. I mean, it's just capturing the reality and chaos of the situation. Like, you can hope all you want, but these things are going to keep happening around you. It's on you to, like, you know, just remember and like keep your eyes on the prize, I guess.
Yeah. Like, good and bad things will happen. People will come and go, and there's still going to be violence around you. There's still going to be people like robbing around you, but grandma's going to keep praying and keep believing. Like, that's another contrast. So he keeps having these like tensions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Between the highs and the lows, the good and the bad. And Jesus, oh yeah, she's going to keep believing in Jesus and one day that you see him. It almost sounds like Gran's giving you a death threat. Like, if you don't put the dishes away, you're going to see Jesus real soon.
But if you're a good boy and put the dishes away, you'll go to heaven someday and then you'll see Jesus.
Right? So even you can't trust your grandma is what I'm getting from this line.
She's always got something up her sleeve.
Yeah, but just following this idea that like she's going to keep believing in Jesus and one day that you see him, like there's this hope for heaven and this hope for salvation. But until then, walk in his footsteps and try to be him. Like, you need to live in the best way that you possibly can. And he follows that up with, the devil is alive. I feel him breathing. Like, to go all the way through that, like, all this, like, kind of, like, I don't know, these, not euphemisms. What is it? Like, two in the basket's worth one in the bushel, or... aphorisms. Like, it's almost like he's speaking in aphorisms for the first part of this, but it builds up to this idea that, like, yeah, you hope for better and you try to be better, but despite all of that, like, the devil is alive and you can feel him breathing.
Man, it's such a performative song in that way, because like when Kanye says that line, he almost like whispers it. Like, he actually thinks the devil is around him and he can feel him breathing. Like, it's scary. There's a lot of spoken wordness about this song that I just dig. I don't have a bigger point about that other than I love it.
He was kind of in that frame, right? He had been doing a lot of, like, spoken word poetry on stage at the time. That's what, like, Gold Digger was when it was just 18 years.
Yeah. It's just so cool because, like, it gives it that kind of coffee house feel at the beginning, and like you're really trying to connect with the people in the room. Like, there isn't a ton of overt production. Like, it's a lot of like low-key stuff going on as you just get out your points.
I just imagine like Kanye East and Adam Levin, just like two like regular dudes that go to the coffee shop and like wrote a poem, and you have like him, like, what, or East doing his like spoken word and Levin kind of like singing a little bit off key in the background.
I would pay so much for this.
Yeah. Just like, what would the coffee house version of Kanye and Adam Levine look like and sound like? So that's kind of like it's a midpoint of the verse too, and kind of changes the tone of the verse, because there's a little bit of hopefulness in that first part. As it's kind of like, despite like the people shooting guns, you have like grandma praying and you're trying to be better, and just these thoughtful aphorisms at the start. But then it pivots into claiming money is the key, so keep on dreaming. And try to be him. The devil is alive, I feel him breathing. Claiming money is the key, so keep on dreaming. And put them lottery tickets just to tease us. My Aunt Pam can't put them cigarettes down, so now my little cousin smoking them cigarettes now. His job try to claim that he too niggerish now. Is it cause his skin blacker than licorice now? I can't figure it out. It's sickening now. And I heard him say, like, now it's the devil that's convincing you that you need money and that you need to dream for this nice stuff, which brings us back to like throwing some hot cars, right?
Like, yeah.
That's more the influence of the devil than it is like glory to God.
And this all this makes me think of is like Kitsy Ghost and what eventually happened to Kanye and how he succumbed to his demons and these sort of temptations, these thoughts. Because here Kanye is like very aware of it, that, you know, these things tease us, and like you know you have this pressure to smoke cigarettes and like act this way and do this, and it's Kanye knew all this yet fell prey to all of that kind of stuff. That's just really interesting to me, that like I feel like that energy is built into the song, that like we all know we shouldn't do these things and we all know these are the problems we're facing, but like there's nothing to do to overcome any of it. Like we're just stuck in this and we have to keep pushing forward as much as we can.
Yeah. What self-awareness is here in 2005 before Kanye like really descends, like despite being aware that there's all this tension, yeah, that like money isn't the answer, he still ends up in the place that he does on 808s, yeah, and My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy and the start of Yeezus. Just
a couple years like, later.
Dude spent a... Yeah, he spent a decade of his life struggling with the pitfalls that he saw coming from a mile away, but yeah, was, as you're saying, incapable of getting around it, just like a lot of us are. A lot of us know what our biggest flaws are. A lot of us know what we need to stop doing, yeah, in order to improve our lives, and it's hard to do that.
Man, if Kanye can't do it, like, I'm fucked.
That's one way to look at it. And then what do we have? So Keep On Dreaming and Put Them Lottery Tickets just to tease us. That's another thing the devil does. Like, just puts things out there to like get you to spend your money when there's no hope, right? Like, mm-hmm, lottery tickets, it's always the hope that you're gonna like win big and that's your ticket out of there, but you just end up throwing away hundreds, if not thousands, of dollars over the span of years.
Yeah.
My Aunt Pam can't put them cigarettes down, so now my little cousin's smoking them cigarettes now. His job trying to claim that he too...
Blankish?
Yeah, blankish now. I was trying to figure out a way to say that. He too blankish now. Which just, yeah, what he was fine before, but now that he's smoking, now he doesn't fit the archetype, right, that they have, and he's looking like a little too one way or the other, so now he's gonna be fired because of it, like, which kind of ties back just to the idea of the end of the first verse, like when you have these dope boys that are driving like nice cars, or any black person that's in a nice car, the cops are gonna pull you over because you're not fitting the picture that they have for you. And now here you have this kid that's just smoking cigarettes, something that millions of people do, but that's the thing that his job is just like, now we don't like you now.
Yeah.
And Kanye asks, is it because his skin blacker than licorice now?
Yeah. Mm. That's an interesting line. It's like him smoking the cigarette and like suddenly not fitting the mold they want him to. It brings out his blackness. And maybe the line is a little, it's kind of a weird line. Like, you don't really see the progression, but like just thinking about like how it's just becoming more and more dramatic, and he's just repeating now, like there's like a beautiful musicality to the flow of those lines. And ultimately, when you look at it and you look at the entirety of the song and like this idea, like, is it because of skin blacker than licorice now? Like, you could totally see how Kanye built to that point and how like, it feels like there's nothing you can do. At some point, your employer is going to realize you're black, and like that puts you in this box. I mean, and it limits you.
You have me nodding along.
Mm. It's like I'm putting out a sick beat.
But it's just wisdom. It's just the wisdom of your words.
It's the music of my life.
We also have Alyssa adding something to the Genius annotation. They just added this 3 months ago, but it says, in the music video, the cousin throws the match into a puddle of oil. The car explodes, and it shows the cousin becomes an angel, implying he died.
Wow.
Skin blacker than licorice now could refer to his burned corpse.
My God.
Right, like, that escalated.
Hmm.
That escalated, but I... Yes... But also, yeah, as you were saying, there's something about like the change in perception of how he looks once he's smoking.
Yeah.
To like the people that employ him. And yeah, Kanye just says, I can't figure it out. I'm sick of it now.
Yeah. It's just like the other verse ending with, I know it. Like it really does just feel like there's nothing we can do about this.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't figure it out. Like, what can we do? Like, what can anyone do to get over these like hurdles that society has set up for you when like you're just existing? And they're like, no.
Again, this is a Kanye origin story. Like it highlights the importance he feels as a celebrity and like, and what we're going to hear throughout the album, like something like Touch the Sky, like the reason he feels the need to like blow himself up and present an image of success because like, he can't figure it out. So like, all I'm going to do is like try to give people inspiration.
Yeah. And this really captures just that sentiment of early part of the college dropout, just being grounded in this place where you feel like you can't escape. And then you get that contrast heading into Touch the Sky where like, I have escaped. And like, this is the feeling that I have. Like, this is the joy that I have. This is the empowerment that I have. And why he's so inspirational, because he's able to show people, like, I felt this way, I saw these things, and now here I am. And you can channel that same energy. Mm. Then we get the hook again, just nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. Yeah, which feels much more of a brick wall, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you don't have a lot of vision ahead of you, like your distance of the future, sight of the future, like not great. Like all you really have is up close and here and now and today. You feel very confined, I guess is what I'm saying, after these verses.
Yeah.
And then you get the post hook, which is just Adam Levine doing Adam Levine things.
And it's beautiful, every sexy way.
That's right. With every worthless word, we get more far away. We get more far away. And nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. And nothing lasts forever, but be honest, babe. It hurts, but it may be the only way.
And the worthless word line is the only new one, right?
Yeah, that's really it, right? It's the first time we hear... No, he had said nothing's ever promised tomorrow today before, yeah. With every worthless word, we get more far away.
Yeah, it's like that's the only addition to it, and it's the beginning of it. So like, it brings that energy immediately into like this refrain we've heard from over and over. And yeah, I think maybe that just highlights the language used for people who feel down and out, who feel oppressed. Like all of these promises, like politicians make, or you know anything like that. Like they're all worthless words. Like, we need to build ourselves up. And again, I think that's more of the motivation for Kanye and the inspiration he's trying to inspire in people.
Yeah, he's seeing the fact that nobody else can really help him, right? Like everybody else is kind of struggling. The powers that be are trying to keep people down. You can't rely on the government. You can't rely on these politicians. Like, who is there to help you? And it's like Kanye's just like, me. I'm there. Like, me, myself, and I are going to be there and do the things that we need to do to get out of here. And he's powered by his love. I was trying to find a better way of saying that, but he's doing everything that he's doing out of love and his like passion for music and being a beat maker and a candy maker. And that's what's able to get him out of there. But
Yeah.
And everybody's so lucky.
And just all of that, like, just all of the weight that's being carried throughout the song, and, you know, all of the conflicting tones and it, you know, musically that's occurred throughout, and like all of the good and bad Connie's like that, like it all devolves into what the outro is, which is just like, it's like a minute of just sounds, you know, some like lighter distortion. There's like some celestial sounds. It's very strange, but ultimately I think it's kind of erratic in a really sparse way that is, you know, miles different from what you get on Touch the Sky, which is this big blown up, like sure of itself sound. It's a really interesting way to end the song.
And just the then contrast that we see between Heard 'Em Say and Touch the Sky is a great duality to start off Late Registration. And if we're looking at really there being an opening arc between Wake Up Mr. West through Gold Digger, with Skit 1 kind of being the division, you really have a nice little arc created by the dourness or downness of Heard 'Em Say versus the highness and ascension of Touch the Sky, and then the middle ground that is Gold Digger,
where the it's dark reality like, of a celebrity.
Yeah, right. You get like each extreme of like no celebrity, all the celebrity, and then the reality of like those worlds colliding.
Right.
The desperate with those that have made it.
Right. And even like it just highlights, you know, Heard 'Em Say, like there's I guess even though I find it to be a pessimistic song, like there's a bit of optimism there and like how you view making it out of your environment or finally finding success, like defying all the odds. Like there's something romantic about that because ultimately you want to succeed so you can go out and do good. And Touch the Sky like kind of embodies that. But then Gold Digger kind of highlights just like what can happen to you when you do. And it, that brings some heaviness to Heard 'Em Say, like even more so, because like even if you do defy all the odds and overcome all these things trying to bring you down, like here's this other thing that will, that could totally suck you in.
Yeah, that's the thing that jumps out to me about where this album starts compared to College Dropout, right? Because it's a year and a half between releases, so even though like it feels shorter because it's like you see 2004 next to College Dropout and 2005 next to Late Registration, Kanye still had from February 10th when College Dropout came out to August 30th when Late Registration came out to really experience fame. And there's something so much more three-dimensional about his feelings on Late Registration to me, which doesn't take away from the College Dropout at all. I think that's the beautiful thing about College Dropout is just how wide-eyed and trusting Kanye is of success on that album. But Late Registration immediately starts you in this place of like, yeah, I've seen success. And let me tell you, even though he doesn't address that perspective so much on Heard 'Em Say, it's just kind of there in the subtext of like, yeah, I've made it and I'm still saying nothing's ever promised tomorrow today. Like,
Yeah, it's interesting. It's almost like you would succumb to the, on Gold Digger, you know, it's about Gold Digger, is it's about men and women abusing each other. Like you can almost see, like, if you start out in such a low place, like you do in Heard 'Em Say, you're almost more prone to that behavior because you don't know how to handle success. You don't know how to handle anything except the suppression you felt in your entire life. And you're, it's all so foreign to you that like this is the way you act. Like, it's such an interesting world Kanye's painting.
Yeah, and we keep going through that. I think that's the thing, like, Late Registration feels like more of a built out world to me, because College Dropout, it started kind of worldly and then really focuses onto Kanye and his like journey through music making to the success that he ultimately attains. Where like here you continue to have these little like memories, whether it's Drive Slow or just looking at the world around him on crack music, the hospital scene on Roses and how powerful that is. And it feels like Kanye's just experiencing a larger range of things on this album.
Yeah. And I'm excited to delve into it.
Track by track, line by line.
That's how we do.
Anything else with Heard Him Say?
No, that was as difficult as I thought it would be.
Beautiful.
Well, then, that's the way I like it.
Touch the Sky. We will dive into, I guess, the contrast between Heard Him Say, as well as look at the debut verse of one Lupe Fiasco.
Ah, that little guy. That little fellow.
Lupe is going to listen to this one day and be like, did you just call me a little fellow?
Motherfucker.
Lupe, I'll say it for you. Travis, how dare you? Yeah. Well, then, thanks for joining us, and then we'll be back for Touch the Sky next week.
All right, but until then, please stay wavy.
And keep it loopy. And they ask me, they ask me, they ask me, I tell them. Raise your glasses, your glasses, your glasses to the sky. This is the last call for alcohol for the...
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.